could stay young and time would cease to pass. We'll get old and we'll let go, and the only thing left be this photograph. Run for cover!
Great to welcome back to the KETR studios this music artist who recently released his sophomore album, Tex. He has earned the respect of his Texas peers thanks to his take on songwriting, and that includes praise from Mary Gaucher and Rodney Crowell. He performed last night in Dallas and was kind enough to work in a visit to Commerce while in the area. And I want to thank you for joining me again. Terry Klein, how are you, man?
I'm great. It's great to be here with you again, Matt.
The last time that we spoke was during a rare doubleheader interview. In fact, this is the first time I've ever had two different artists in at once when you were here with your friend Jordy Bizon.
Yes, he has a wonderful new record coming out at the beginning of June.
Oh.
And so I suspect you will be seeing and hearing from him soon.
Okay, very good. Nice. Well, a little cross promotion there for I know somebody that you call a friend and you you know, called him out in the liner notes on your record, so you two are pretty close.
Yes, yes.
That's awesome. Well, we're not going to make the interview about Jordy Bizon. Jordy, you got to come back in to get your name out there a little bit more, and we'll talk to you soon. But for now, we're talking to Terry Klein, and refresh my memory. You transplanted to Texas in recent years, didn't you?
Correct. We moved to Texas from Boston, Massachusetts in July of 2016. I had practiced law in Boston for 15 years and tried cases and argued appeals and was a litigator. You know, about 5.5 years ago, I started writing a lot of songs. And it got to the point where it felt like something that I should be doing all of the time.
Okay, it was just kind of a hobby to take your mind off of this other stressful job that you had.
Right, right. I mean, there was a kind of almost a life-saving aspect to it for me.
Wow.
Where it enabled me to connect with people in a way that practicing law really doesn't and didn't. So we moved down here in July of 2016, and we just love it here.
That's great.
My wife works in education and has had tremendous success, and people are very receptive to what her nonprofit does. And the Austin music community and the Texas community has just welcomed me with the most open arms that I could have ever imagined. It's been great.
We feel like we're pretty nice folks, but you don't know for sure until you've seen it from the other side, which is what you're doing.
Yes.
And we always welcome all, and we, of course, have this draw. A lot of people are coming here from all around.
Yes.
And we're really happy to, you know, to call you a Texan. It sounds to me like the Texas is really setting in with you then.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the record is called Tex. And the reason for that is that was my nickname when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, my dad, when I was around 3 or 4, just started calling me Tex. And that the picture on the actual CD is a picture of me at about that age when he started calling me
okay
by Tex. And so a lot of his friends started calling me Tex to the point where I can be out and about in Washington or New York where he kind of runs, and people will call me Tex.
Really? And there's no explanation for that, huh? It was just,
no.
I mean, did you have like a toy gun or something?
No, I think he had in the 70s started coming down here and hanging out in Austin. He's a political journalist, and he would hang out with people like Jim Hightower. I think he really fell in love with Texas on those trips. I think that's the closest I can get to an explanation. It is really inexplicable. I wasn't going to call the record Tex. It just kind of popped into my head one day last summer, and it felt right to me.
I thought it was almost like a little ironic nod to the fact that you've only been here a couple of years.
Right.
But there's a deeper meaning on that, so that's
yes.
Awesome. At this point, I mean, can you even imagine yourself anywhere but Texas?
No, I really can't. I'm leaving Texas now for a couple weeks to go on tour, and I'm a little bit broken up about that. But, you know, it's this feels like the place that I'm meant to be, and this feels like what I'm meant to do. There are these things called table topics that, you know, you can you can open them up and have a conversation based on like a little conversation okay. prompt. And my kids love to do it. And the question will be sometimes something like, you know, if you won the lottery, what would you do? You know, what would you change? If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? I would be a songwriter in Texas.
Nice.
You know, which is not to say that this is easy. This is an immensely challenging thing to do for a number of reasons, and it's truly humbling in the real sense of the word humbling. I mean, this will humble you a lot, but I do it because I kind of have to. You know, there's nothing else that I would rather be doing. And I don't know if there's anything else I can do kind of quite as well as this.
Okay.
You know, and if you don't think I'm that good, that should tell you something.
everyone who has a job is put on some sort of a scaling, you know. But I mean, when you go into a performing arts like this, you know, it's like that on steroids because, yes. you know, everybody's judging you all the time.
Yes. So. Yes. And we judge ourselves, I would say, a lot more harshly than anybody else does. We say things to ourselves that we'd never say to anybody else. Your question was about Texas. And it's an incredible privilege. I can't believe we get to live here.
That's great to hear, and we are very happy to have you here. And I know that I mentioned in your intro, your fellow singers and songwriters there in Austin have really, have really found something in you and see something and hear something in what you're doing. And I know that that's a real driving force to keep you going. And so we hope you keep at it. If you're just tuning in here, Terry Klein is my guest. On 88.9 KETR. You really touched on this earlier, but I love on your site, in your bio, it describes you as a recovering lawyer, which I just find hilarious.
Yes.
That previous life in law ended up not being as fulfilling as you hoped it would be. You're the only artist I've ever talked to that is a former lawyer and yeah. went into this. So, I mean, how did you end up going into law?
I am not entirely sure. You know, I went to the University of Michigan and graduated and had good grades. I went and worked in politics for a couple of years. And I think that the pretty common career path for people sort of on that trajectory is to just go to law school. And so that's what I did. I went to the law school at UC Berkeley, spent my last year in law school at Harvard Law School. And once you're kind of a little pebble in that stream, that big, strong, rushing stream, it's really tough to extricate yourself from that. And so I got a job at a big law firm. They trained me up and I went out on my own and started my own law firm in Boston that still exists and still has still has my name on it, but I don't practice.
Okay. Do y'all have like those awful television commercials or anything?
No.
Okay.
No commercials.
All right.
No. It wasn't for me. And I knew it wasn't for me from pretty early on. I think I was pretty good at it. You know, I argued cases in the United States Courts of Appeals in Boston and Massachusetts and in New York City, and I think I was pretty good at it. But I am by nature conflict averse.
Okay.
And so it was a lot. It was 15 years of really pretending I was someone that I wasn't. I'd been a musician when I was younger and played in bands in Los Angeles when we lived in Los Angeles. But when I sat down and started writing songs, it felt like I had opened up some kind of miraculous aspect of existence that I did not know existed.
I bet.
And even when I was writing really bad songs, it just felt like the most miraculous, incredible thing.
Yeah.
So that's a long-winded answer to your question.
No,
but that's kind of how it happened.
Well, do you think that maybe in some way that background as a lawyer maybe in some way helped prepare you for life as a performing artist? Because, I mean, at least you were used to being up in front of a crowd.
I think it did. I think in there's the performance aspect of it, yes, but also the aspect of it as a person who runs a small business. You know, I think that that's something that Mary Gaucher, who you mentioned, always says, is that we as artists are small business people.
Right.
And we need to treat our work in that manner. And so having built a little business of my own, I think that experience really helps me now to keep me focused and to keep me kind of thinking about, not to use too highfalutin terms, but like metrics, you know, like
yes.
what does success look like? What does it mean? I think that really helps.
Well, Terry Klein, I know you've got family back in Austin, and you're talking about, you know, you're leaving the state and going out on the road. It's got to be hard to leave all that behind when you head out for gigs, I assume.
It is. It is really, really hard. It is worth it to connect with people. It's worth it to go back to the Northeast, to share these songs with old friends and make new friends. But it is hard. But it's the job description,
well,
you know?
Right.
I mean, it's just kind of, it's one of those things you have to do.
Yeah, they didn't just spring this on you at the last second when you when
right.
you went into this.
Right.
I totally get it. And I'm sure that there's going to be a certain mystique to you now that you are a Texan.
Yes.
When you go back up north, it's
yes.
like, wow.
Yes.
I mean, now when you wear the hat,
yes.
it means something.
Yes. Yes. I think, you know, the first couple times I went back, people would come to sort of gawk.
Yeah.
But as I got sort of surer on my feet, there is a novelty aspect to it now. Definitely.
Sure. Well, Terry Klein is my guest on KETR. And for me, listening to your albums is a pretty unique experience because part spoken word poetry with these very heartfelt lyrics and this thoughtful instrumentation that doesn't overshadow those lyrics. So who are kind of some of the artists that inspired the, for lack of a better term, the Terry Klein sound?
Well, I would say it starts with Hank Williams. When I found Hank Williams songs, that's what really prompted me to pick up a guitar and start playing songs and then writing songs of my own. There's a deceptive simplicity of that and an honesty in that expression and a vulnerability that was just incredibly appealing to me. John Prine is a huge influence on me. You know, with John Prine lyrics and with Hank Williams lyrics also, you can inhabit them. Again, Mary talks about it as they make the crossing from one heart to another with ease is how she talks about it. And so Mary's another big influence. There isn't a ton of abstraction in my lyrics, as you probably have noticed. Like you can kind of get a sense that the words are literal. There are inner meanings and layers upon layers in there. But I think that when you add a lot of abstraction to a song, you risk kind of walling off a listener.
Yeah.
And with this, for me, what this is about is connecting with listeners and having listeners feel more connected to each other and a little bit less alone in the world, knowing that there are other people in the world kind of going through the same stuff and being made sad and happy excited about the same kinds of things.
Why don't we give people an example of what we're talking about here? They want to listen to this song from your latest album, Tex. I picked out the song Steady Rain. I picked this out because it's just got a great groove and it nicely shows off your witty songwriting style. What can you say to set up this song or provide any insight on Steady Rain?
This one is a song that I wrote for my brother, kind of. My brother is a United States Foreign Service officer. He's been a diplomat since 1998. And a lot of people around him have hypothesized that he's a spy. I don't believe that he is,
okay.
But I wrote this song kind of imagining that he was. And so that's how this song happened. And it was, this one was just a really fun one to write and even more fun to record. And when, you know, we get kind of the band together to play it live, it's really fun to play live. It's just a fun song. But it's also, there's an aspect of it also that, you know, where, if you're kind of late in your career or headed toward being late in your career, headed toward being, you know, crossing kind of the peak of being middle-aged, you wonder what happens next. And I tried to capture that. And I love how the song came out. The kind of the sonic footprint of it is similar to me to a Beastie Boys song called Something's Gotta Give. From their Check Your Head record, which I have always loved. It was just a fun one. This whole record was fun to make, but that song was just, we had a great time.
Well, it really
laying that down.
It really kind of stands out to me as a song that sounds a little different from the other tracks on the album. It's just got this really fun kind of wavy groove that the bass line brings in.
Well, I knew this woman from Holland in Moscow back in 93. Her name was Anita, but she spelled it with an extra T. It was the wettest June on record, and we pretty much just stayed inside. Two T's Anita said it was good for the farmers, and I'll allow that she was right. Well, you asked me what I was doing back there back then, and I know that I can't say. The only thing I can rightly recall is, oh, the steady rain.
From his latest album, Tex, that is Terry Klein doing Steady Rain on listener-supported 88.9 KETR Commerce. This is Notably Texan. My name is Matt Minky. I'm your host here on the program. And in studio with me right now is the aforementioned artist, Terry Klein, who was in Dallas performing at a show last night. And I'm assuming you're on your way back to Austin and found your way here.
Well, I'm actually on my way. I have a show in Bonsville, Massachusetts on Saturday.
Okay.
Evening. And so tonight I'm going to drive to Nashville. And tomorrow I'm going to drive to Harrisburg, and then from Harrisburg it's on to Bonsville. So you are on the way.
God, okay, perfect. Well, that worked out then. Well, I'm really glad that we were able to find a way to get you in, and let's make this a regular stop for you when you're on the road in this area, man.
Thank you.
Well, much as you did on your debut album, you worked with a great producer on Tex, Walt Wilkins. People are probably familiar with Walt Wilkins from his own outstanding career. But what is it about Walt Wilkins as a producer that you enjoy and had you go back to?
It's just easy. It's easy, and the communication is just perfect. You know, when we are working through a song together or working through a mix, if I have a comment that I want to make or some idea, some concept that I want to share, or some notion, 9 times out of 10 before I open my mouth, Walt will raise the possibility with our mixing engineer and the proprietor of the Jumping Dog Studio in Austin, Ron Flint, who's a folk hero in his own right. But it's just easy. And we just work well together. We enjoy spending time together. I love making records with Walt. And nice. I a lot of my friends are doing it now, you know.
Really?
Like Jordy just is in the process of making finished a record with Walt.
Okay.
Chuck Hawthorne, another friend of mine, an incredible songwriter from Amarillo who now lives in Manor, just made a record with Walt. Chad Richard from Beaumont just did one. He's another friend of mine. And Mark Abrams, who's somebody who I will make sure to get his CD into your hands. He's one of the finest songwriters I've ever heard in my life. He's in his mid-60s, and
wow. This
is the first record he's ever made, and it's just an extraordinary, extraordinary sound that he generates. People are catching on, and Walt continues to kind of up his game and take chances, and that last song, I think, was a really good example of that. You know, that's not a Red Dirt song.
Sure.
You know, that's not a folk song. You know, that's just the arrangement that we all felt like would fit for that song. And we took chances on a bunch of different aspects of it. In a nutshell, it's about the ease of working with him.
Nice. Well, it sounds like you two have carved out a great relationship. And more than likely, you're telling everybody you know to use this guy. You go to Walt.
Right.
Very nice. Well, a great group of backing artists with you on the album also. Were these like session artists, or was that a band that you put together?
It was the core band was the same band from the first record.
Okay.
So that was easy. And when everybody, we scheduled the recording process so that the keys player, Bart DeWin, could play. He's from Holland. He's from the Netherlands.
Oh, wow.
Where I'm going to be going to play a few shows at the end of June with Bart. But so we scheduled it because he was going to be around.
I see.
And the bass player and the drummer, bass player Bill Small, drummer John Chipman, they're local to Austin. And then beyond that, you know, Kim Deschamps played steel, and he's one of my favorite musicians just in the world. I love the way he makes things sound. And Jamie Harris added some harmony vocals, and other folks came into Walt's the guy who puts that together. That's part of his job as the producer. But again, there's an ease to it. He knows what I want. You know, he knows the sound that I like. And that's what he puts together.
Typically, when you're doing live shows, I'm assuming it's more of a solo acoustic thing.
Yes. I would love to figure out a way to add a band into the mix. The economics of it are really challenging.
Sure.
But, you know, this tour is going to be just me and my guitar.
Well, that's all. Listen, that's all that's needed, I assure you. But I was just curious if you had like a band that that you were gonna putting together or planning to do that.
Yeah. The band that, you know, the I use a couple different kind of folks in Austin, but whenever I can, I use John Chipman, who played drums on the record, Bill Small, and sometimes I'll do duo shows with Kim on steel.
Okay.
So it's kind of different pieces, but
John Chipman, formerly of Band of Heathens,
yes,
and he's done a lot of other things.
Yes, and just a great, great, great fun guy.
Awesome. That's cool. Well, everybody sounds great on the album, and it's called Tex. It's out right now. People can get that various places, right? Where can somebody get your record?
Well, you can, if you want to buy it directly from me, you can go to my website, and that's terrykleinmusic.com, and I'll ship you an actual physical CD if you do that. But you can also go into all the usual places, Apple
sure.
Music, Spotify, Amazon, Google, all the sorts of normal digital places where you find your music.
I mean, the music industry business model is shifting, of course, but there has been so much chatter lately about, of course, Spotify is extremely popular, extremely easy to use. You know, I mean, anybody who loves music could just go download this this thing and search for their whatever song and play it. I mean, it's hard to deny the simplicity and ease of use on something like that. But an artist typically gets like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a penny for hundreds of plays on one of these places. So I guess I'll just throw out there that if you really want to support an artist and like what they do, it's probably a good idea to, like, you know, buy their album from them.
Yeah.
I'm not selling your records for you. This is just, I'm talking about how the industry works these days.
Right.
I mean, it's great to be able to play their stuff off Spotify, but if you want to actually make sure that they're able to make another record, it's always good to support them directly. So
yeah, buy the record from the artist, come to shows, and then stream the record to your heart's content.
Yeah, you know? As the joke lately is that you if you really like an artist, that you put their stuff on repeat overnight when you go to sleep, so they get a bunch of plays on these sites.
Right.
But anyway, while I've got you here, Terry Klein, who's our guest here, I wanted to point out that this radio station is turning 44 years old later this week. 44 years old, that's a long time to be, you know, have any business open, particularly a listener-supported radio station. And so we're reminding listeners that we use their contributions to fund all the programming here. So, Terry, you've lived around the nation. You know, you live in Austin, which has a great radio and public radio community. You've heard what public radio has to offer. Would you be willing to speak a little bit about why KETR is worth supporting here in Northeast Texas?
So community radio and NPR affiliates are, I think, indispensable for musicians, but also, and this is getting back into my political science background, also kind of as part of our political culture, understanding the issues of the day. When I was driving here this morning, I was listening to Texas Standard, and it's just really, really high quality content, day in, day out. And in order for you to get Texas Standard on this station, you, I believe, have to pay for it. And to get NPR content, I believe you have to pay for it. I am a huge fan of this kind of community radio and NPR and public radio and listener-supported radio. It's every city I've lived in. It's what I've listened to. It's very rare you'll hear me listening to a commercial station of any kind. Give a little bit a month, you know, give a couple bucks a month. It's a cup of coffee or a latte. It makes such a huge difference to everyone.
At a certain point, you go, I'm a public radio person. You know, you move into a new place and you seek out the public station. There are, I guarantee you, a lot of people that have grown up listening to this station over these 44 years. And this is the only public station that they've ever listened to. Because, you know, here in a place like Northeast Texas, you've only got a couple of choices on the dial. And frankly, like 90-something% of them are country and western, and not to say that we don't play plenty of that here on the show, but sometimes people like to hear different things. Sometimes people like to hear in-depth interviews with people like Terry Klein, and so I think it's sometimes surprising to some of our listeners when they go, oh, this is a public radio station, because I've never listened to another one, and y'all are pretty different
mm-hmm.
From some of the other public stations. So I always try to remind people, don't let the you know, the brand of public radio somehow freak you out about giving to the station, because chances are you've been listening here for a long time. And also chances are maybe you have never supported. So go ahead and make this the day where you become not just a listener, but a supporter of great public radio. You can click donate at our site, ketr.org, and that really would be appreciated. And it goes a long way towards keeping shows like Notably Texan on the air.
Yes, do it.
I guess I fall in love too easy and I move on too slow. But some broken things just stay broke. Yeah, that's the way it goes. And I have fault lines etched across my heart, like the cracked up perfect patchwork of the Mona Lisa. And the deepest cut of all belongs to you. Yes, it all began with you, sweet Anika home, sweet Anika home.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt. I'm going to start planning tours that come through here just so we can hang out.
I hope so, man, because I would love to. I'd love to make this a regular thing. I've always enjoyed speaking to you, and let's definitely do it again. I'm very happy to spread the word about you and your music. And let's give folks a reminder where they can find like photos and albums and tour dates and everything. It's at your site.
Yes, terrykleinmusic.com. It's K-L-E-I-N, music.com. Facebook.com, Terry Klein Music is the page. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, and my handle there is Klein Songs. I still haven't figured out what my social media strategy is going to be for this tour. I have pondered, Matt, the idea of perhaps just not putting anything on social media till it's over.
Okay.
To try to like just exist, but we'll see what happens. You might catch some updates. You'll have to check in every now and then.
Oh, okay. That's your strategy right there.
It's
a mystery. You're going to have to figure it out and
check it
out for yourself. I'm glad we worked this out, man. You can thank me later. Terry Klein, it has been a pleasure, and let's look forward to talking to you again, my man.